I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, I do not want to spend a ton more time on it. The two big stories in the media world from the last 2 days. The NFL Network, now owned by ESPN, they gave 10% equitable share to ESPN. ESPN gave them a 10% equity share in the company in return for ownership of the NFL Network and the linear broadcasting rights for the Red Zone channel. We also found out this morning that on top of that acquisition by ESPN, they have also acquired the rights to, and it basically breaks down to, marquee WWE premium live events. Now, I don't know what, I don't know how much heavy lifting the word marquee is doing there. Does that mean the big four? Does that mean the big four plus a couple of others? Does that mean all of them?
It's going to be all of them. I mean, from what I've read, it's going to be, I know that up on the screen right now, it says marquee, but every PLE is marquee.
Yeah, that would be my bet as well. So I'm just going to make one point and then we're going to be done with this and we're going to get into some other sports stories. As we work our way towards NFL Week 1 getting started in earnest tomorrow night. We'll talk a little Panthers coming up in a few minutes, et cetera, et cetera. I have a couple of thoughts. Number one, and a texter just said what I was going to say, so I'll read the text. Quote, I'm not sure that making WWE fully subscription only is a good idea to grow the fan base. You have to consistently grow a fan base or it will dwindle. Let me make a point that I made off the air. And this is why you should come hang out with us on the live stream. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFanUpstate on Twitter, TheFanUpstate on YouTube. Go give us a like, a follow, a subscribe, whatever you're on. You can do the show the same for the show, The Rob Brown Show, on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Give us a like and a subscribe, and you can come hang out and watch all four hours of the show live all 5 days of the week at your leisure. So, I said this during the break. I'll say it again here. One of the things that sports fans sometimes have a hard time doing is taking the fan cap off when you ask questions about why certain decisions are made, the way that certain decisions are made. This is a conversation we had, I do not know how many times over the past few years in college football. When I have said to college football fans on this show and others, you are trying to rationalize decisions made about the business of college football with a fan's glasses on. And the reality is, the powers that be in college football and the NFL and MLB and NHL and MLS and every other entity and organization anywhere that operates with the goal of turning a profit, they do not have a fan cap on. They do not care about your feelings towards their product as an individual. They only care about the feelings of, they only care about the actions of the group at large. This is why, over the past couple of years, when college football has made decisions and y'all have said, this isn't something that fans are going to like, my response the entire time has been, it doesn't matter. I have a question for you. Are you going to boycott college football this year? And the answer almost exclusively and 100% of the time was, yeah, no, I'm still going to watch. Well, then they're going to do the thing. They're going to do the thing. You're complaining about it on the internet. My griping about it on the radio. All of that is for naught. Because in 3 weeks and 1 day from right now, you might hate what and where college football is today. But in 3 weeks and one day, on Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m., college football season starts. And we all know that the overwhelming majority of us, those of us talking on the radio, those of us listening to the radio, those of you watching on the live stream from all around the world, you know, I know, we know, collectively, we're all going to have our happy asses sitting on couches and lazy boys in milk cartons around the country. Not cartons, what are they called? Milk crates around the country. Watching college football.
Yeah, if you're sitting on a milk cart, that sounds like painful, or you're into some weird stuff.
When the little brother and I were kids, my parents still had milk crates, and that was the kids' furniture. We had milk crates. I'm milk crate old.
Yeah, that just reminds me of working in a grocery store. Thanks.
So it doesn't matter. This thing with the WWE, it is not a matter of, oh, can we grow new fans? And especially since, I am not saying it is only because if it's not, and I'm not even saying they're the only company like this, because every major professional sporting outfit, not league, outfit, college football included, has the same mentality. I think it has just become more obvious since WWE was purchased by TKO. At the end of the day, there is only one thing that matters: share price. That's it. That's all that matters. If the share price goes up and the cash money comes in, then that decision is the decision they will make. We can all day, and we do and we have and we will, at least I will, say, I think it is gross to have events in Saudi Arabia. I think it is gross to have the working relationship with Saudi Arabia that the WWE has. I think it is gross. And yet, on Thursday at 9:20, tomorrow morning at 9:20, it'll be time for Fight Club. And what are we going to do? We're going to talk about SummerSlam. We're going to break down our favorite matches and moments and memories and yada, yada, yada. And we're going to talk about CM Punk being champion for 5 minutes. The shortest championship span in the history of the company, by the way. Congrats, CM Punk.
You sure it was 5 minutes? I thought it was less than that.
It was like 5 minutes and 11 seconds, because you got to remember Seth had like a 3.5 minute entrance before he got to the ring. Spoiler alert. We're going to come in here and talk about it. So I can think it is disgusting to my core that they are having a relationship with Saudi Arabia that is now expanded to taking bona fide, genuine, legitimate crown jewel pay-per-views to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. But it doesn't matter, because I still watched. I still gave them my eyeballs. I'm still going to talk about it because I love wrestling, right? And if they can go to Saudi Arabia and they can get some crown prince to give them $1 billion so that he and a few of his buddies can watch Seth Rollins in person, they don't care how I feel about it. They got $1 billion. Of course they don't care. These companies operate with the bottom line as their only concern. This is the same conversation we had earlier about ESPN acquiring the NFL Net, and to me, more importantly, I'm not really super concerned about the NFL Network. The NFL Network is a mainstay on my television like a handful of days a year. Anytime that they replay the 2009 Super Bowl where the Saints won, I'll rewatch that. Anytime during preseason where they are doing live from camp segments, I'll watch those. And then I watch the games that are on the NFL Network. And that's pretty much my experience. There is only one element of that whole conversation that I care about, and that is the Red Zone Channel. Big Scott Hansen guy over here. Big fan of 8 hours of commercial-free football. Big fan. I'm a big fan because it is the last refuge of sport that does not include hot takes, controversial opinions, and attention-seeking behavior. It's the last place to go. I can't tune in to any other show on any network, anywhere, at any time. Even the report shows have dudes and dudettes that are throwing their hot takes into the mix. Okay? Not Scott Hansen. I trust Scott Hansen with my Sunday television watching pleasure. Because Scott Hansen, he's not hitting you with hot takes and opinions. He just says, the Bills are in the red zone. Let's take you live to Buffalo, New York. And then they flip the audio on the game. And then if somebody gets in the red zone, he backs you out and he says, all right, we're going to keep you in Buffalo, but we're also going to add Miami to the screen as the Dolphins are now inside the NFL red zone. And then, every now and then, you get the greatest juicy little treat in all of sports television, the Octobox. I'm going to put, says Scott Hansen, 8 football games on your TV all at the same time. We'll put the sound on the most important one, but you get 8. Here's 8 games. Enjoy, you ADHD-riddled football fans. Have a ball. And I do every time. It's amazing. It's the last bastion. And the concern that you have, and again, the ESPN now owns the rights to the, or excuse me, now owns the NFL Network, but they own linear broadcasting rights to the Red Zone channel. So I do not know how that clearance is going to work, how that inventory is going to work. If ESPN says, yep, we're going to broadcast Red Zone channel for you, and we get 3 minutes of commercials per hour, or 10, or 5, or 1. I don't know. Maybe it's like the Masters, where they do like 1 60-second commercial per hour. I don't know. But here's what I do know. What I do know is ESPN operates with 1 objective and only 1 objective. Eyeballs, clicks, views, interaction, content, money, 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 money. And the question mark for me is going to be, are we about to get to a point where Scott Hansen says, Dallas Cowboys have their back against the wall here. The Eagles driving. They're in tush-push territory. Let's take you live out to Dallas. And while we watch this game, let's bring in Stephen A. Smith to give his thoughts. Stephen, great to have you here on the Red Zone, buddy. Do you think that the Cowboys would be in a different spot here if they'd kept Micah Parsons? Scott, thanks for having me. You know, I know Micah personally. And let me tell you about Micah Parsons. And now all of a sudden,
I think the question is, how long does Scott Hansen stay with Red Zone?
I don't know the answer.
Will he be replaced by someone like Stephen A. or someone like that?
My thought would be, at least up front, my thought would be, Scott Hansen is the Red Zone channel. If you're a Red Zone guy, you like Scott Hansen. I said it earlier. On the Mount Rushmore of broadcasters that nobody dislikes, it's 4 Scott Hansen faces.
There was another version that was on one of the other dish services where it wasn't Scott Hansen. It was the dude with the really big ears. Why do I forget his name?
Oh, Siciliano?
Yeah, it was Siciliano.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And here's the thing. That's been going on a couple of years now. Ain't nobody knows about it because we're all Scott Hansen guys. We're all Red Zone channel guys. So my thought would be, they leave Hansen. The only question mark is going to be, do they start telling Scott Hansen, hey, we're going to bring Stephen A. on now. Hey, we're going to bring whoever on now. We're going to bring on Talking Head B to give their hot take. And
whoever
it takes
Talking
it,
Head B is.
Yeah, whoever Talking Head
but
B is.
What if they replace
Orlovsky? We're going to bring Orlovsky and Clark on now. We're going to have them do a debate on whether or not Rodgers can get it done with the Steelers.
Would you be okay with McAfee and his guys taking over?
If it's about football, because I'll tell you, like, I've enjoyed their college football sideline broadcast because they're about the game, right? Like, they're not fighting each other for the sake of content. They're just 4 drunk frat boys on the sideline hooting and hollering and having a good time like me and the boys are doing in the brocade.
Who also, and not all frat boys do this, these guys actually know football.
Yeah.
A lot of frat boys don't.
That's it. I think they are. And I know a lot of people don't like McAfee. And I get it. He's not for everybody. Guess who else isn't? Me. I like McAfee for the same reason that I am me. I like to have fun doing this. And the boys like to have a good time. And I think that's fine. I don't mind McAfee. In fact, quite the opposite. I really enjoy McAfee. If they did a Pat McAfee's NFL Sunday Spectacular, or it's just him and the boys, and they did the NFL Red Zone channel, but it was just Pat and AJ and the fellas just shooting the bleep about football, yeah, I'd probably check in on that. But I'm still a Red Zone channel guy. And so the ultimate thought for me is this. As I sat here during the break, and I tried to, off the top of my head, think of every platform that the NFL has games going across this year. Prime, Do they? I think they have one on Hulu or a couple on Hulu. Peacock, ESPN, ESPN Online. What else? I mean, there's like there's legitimately, if you include the networks.
One of those one because the thing that's below NXT is on one of those TV services. I want to say like Tubi. It's one. It's like that. It might actually be Tubi.
May have one. There's a handful, right? And so, as I mentioned before, we're kind of at a point now where we're just back to cable.
It is
like
Tubi,
we're just
by
back
the way.
To cable.
WWE Evolve is on Tubi.
That's it. So we're just back to cable at this point. And the problem that I have with it, and this is where I get super nerdy, the problem that I have with it is we're back to cable where I've got to have 9 different streaming services to watch every NFL game, which also means I have to have 9 different apps eating up memory on my Xbox where I have all of my entertainment centered in the crib, right? So we're kind of back there, and the concern I have is this. And not concern. It's going to happen. But the thought process that I have is this. Because you've got to have 9 different services, somebody did the math on it. And I don't have the number right here in front of me, but I read it a handful of days ago. If you were to pay for just the month that those platforms have NFL games on, right? If you just paid month by month for only months they have NFL series, you are in the hole. If you want to watch every NFL game, including playoff games, because Prime's got a playoff game too this year. If you want to watch every NFL game, you are in the hole over $1,000 to be able to have access to every game. And I don't know how much that changes with ESPN getting the rights to the NFL when they decide what games are going where. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen right now. What's going to happen right now is, as we are back to cable, just like started to happen at the end of the cable era that forced the beginning of the streaming era a number of years ago. What's going to happen is people are going to look and they're going to say, yeah, I'm not paying $1,100+ a month to watch every NFL game. I'm going to grab a VPN and I'm going to start streaming everything. I'm going to start pirating everything. And then because they are going to see maybe not a torrent, but a healthy number of people who jump to VPNs and start stealing, pirating these games, what's going to happen is all those subscription costs that make it $1,100 to watch every NFL game, they're all going to go up to make up for the people who left. And now those of us that stay, you're in for $1,300, $1,400 a month. And then move, probably, and it's going to go up and up and up. I don't know where we go from here. What I do know is by the NFL, by WWE, by basically everybody except MLB, who Rob Manfred said like 2 weeks ago, we talked about it on the show, he wants to centralize MLB. He does not want games on 95 different streaming services. I want them all in one place. So every MLB fan knows where to go to get a game. I think it's a brilliant idea. We're going to get to a point where I don't know what happens. I do know piracy is going to pick up. I know subscription costs are going to come up. And then at some point, fans are going to start bailing because it's just not worth the cost. Then what happens? I genuinely don't know. Let's take a break. We're back after this. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. No more TV talk.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, we are going to get away from sports and business stories because we have spent a lot of time doing that. Sorry, real quick, did you see this? Great one. On ESPN right now is the story, if you have not seen it.
I did not, but run, dude. Run.
So, the Seattle Kraken, which are the NHL team in Seattle, they took their mascot, who I believe is named Bowie. They took their mascot out to do a promo shoot with some fly fishermen out on a river. And so they got the mascot, and he's in his fly fishing waders, and there's like 7 or 8 fly fishing dudes out there filming a promo scene. And in the middle of filming this promo scene, a bleeping grizzly bear comes out of the woods. And when I first saw it, I went full Lonzo mode. I went, oh, it's a work. They're like doing a promo shoot, of course. It's not.
There are some things that I just saw that I find disturbing. The fishermen didn't care. They just kept walking. And then the other thing is, the mascot did not take the mascot head off. I don't, me or you, that head is coming off so I can see where I'm going when I'm running.
That head's coming off and I'm throwing it at the bear.
Well, yeah. At
I'm
least
hoping it thinks it's a real head.
Using it as a barrier between me and the bear. I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. If
I'm coming to sports, but I have to talk about this. So there is an old expression. I don't have to be faster than the bear.
Right.
I just have to be faster than you.
Exactly.
And I have just watched that become literally true because you are correct. Those fly fishermen, they're not throwing their gear and shedding clothes and sprinting, but they every one of them turned around and went, well, I'm clearly outrunning a mascot, so I'm probably good. Probably because if they take off running, the bear's apex chase instinct catch in, right? Like I'm a dog guy. You get told all the time. If your dog is not coming, if they're out in the yard off leash or whatever, and they're not coming back, the best way to get your dog to follow you is not to try to run and catch them. It's the opposite. You run at the house, and the dog's chase instinct catch in. You don't want to run from the grizzly bear because you don't want his apex predator chase instinct to catch in. At the same time, 1,000%, I'm keeping the mascot between me and the bear. That's incredible. Incredible. I don't know what it costs to dry clean the interior of a mascot outfit, but they're about to find out.
I also would, you know, if we haven't heard the audio, I wonder what the mascot is saying.
It's like,
son of a
but just much more oriented.
I have those fears every morning. So I, you know, and what do I do if a bear actually does come crashing out of the woods? So they just did nothing.
Here's the good news. The good news is, and I grew up around black bears. I'm down from Florida. It's all pine down there, big black bear territory. Black bears, for the most part, I've seen a handful of them. Get big, yell, they run away. Like I've seen it happen. You get big, you yell. Grizzly bears are not black bears.
No.
Grizzly, when you hear a horror story,
that thing was moving too. Yeah. It's not like it was going slow.
When you hear a horror story, dude gets eaten by bear, it's a grizzly bear. It's not a black bear. So we got black bears up here. It's not a black bear. Get big, yell, black bear's going to run away and leave you alone.
Yeah,
if you hear dude gets eaten by bear,
that, by
it's
way.
Grizzly bear. That's terrifying. All right, real quick, wanted to hit some of the highlights of this. We'll dive more into this analysis tomorrow on the show. ESPN has, sorry, owners of the NFL Network and WWE, ESPN, have put out their ACC 2025 season preview. Now, we're going to address and analyze their conference preview because we've been given ours for like 5 weeks now. Okay? You've heard every take that I have about the ACC. Clemson should win it. Miami can win it, but Mario Cristobal at some point will cost them again. SMU could be in the mix, provided they find a replacement at the running back and the wide receiver. Louisville behind Miller Moss is going to throw it 70 times and average 48,000 points per game. They're a threat, but Clemson should be able to keep the ball. Because their defense isn't good, you can grind them to L's. You know I love me some Brent Key and the Georgia Tech Ramblin' Wreck. I've given you every ACC take I have with 3 weeks and 1 day remaining until the regular season kicks off on Thursday night. So let's take a look at some other folks' thoughts on the ACC. Their outlook on the college football playoffs. They have, from the Atlantic Coast Conference, one team and one team alone under their category of should be in, and that obviously is the Clemson Tigers. They wrote up, quote, there's a lot of hype around the Tigers this season, and rightfully so. They return experience, talent, and future NFL picks, including quarterback Cade Klubnik, receivers Antonio Williams and Bryant Wesco Jr., and imposing defensive lineman Peter Woods and TJ Parker. 11 Clemson players made the preseason All-ACC team, and Klubnik was voted the preseason ACC Player of the Year. Debo Swinney said this team had a similar look to the ones that had previously competed for national titles at Clemson, but he also said losing in the first round to the CFP last season served to galvanize the team in the offseason. After making six straight CFP appearances in the early days of the playoff, Clemson missed out on 3 years in a row, leading to questions about not only Swinney, but the state of the program. Making the playoff last season, when it appeared all hope was lost after a regular season finale loss to South Carolina, gave this group of Tigers a taste of what it's like to compete in the CFP. Now they want to win it all. Nothing really out of the blue there. Nothing a real big surprise there. That's pretty much it, right? Like, that's pretty much it. This is bad. This is not what I'm supposed to say as a talk show host. But I agree with Dabo Swinney and something that I heard him say in a couple of interviews at ACC Media Days. Talking season's over. It's an old Steve Spurrier quote. And it is, in this case, very apropos. Talking season's over. I honestly think, and short of getting into X's and O's, individual matchups, short of getting into real football stuff over the next 3 weeks and 1 day, I think the genuine feeling for me right now is that we have pretty much exhausted the general overview takes, right? Like, I think we've gotten to all of them. They have in the running for a college football playoff out of the ACC, Miami, Louisville, SMU, and Georgia Tech. Again, nothing out of the blue. Same thing. Carson Beck at Miami. Mario Cristobal, will he blow it? Will he not? SMU was there last year with Kevin Jennings. He's back this year, although the schedule is going to be much tougher. Louisville has Miller Moss at quarterback. But they also may have this part. Actually, we haven't really mentioned yet because we've been so dialed in on Jeff Brohm and Miller Moss that I have not really talked about the fact that Isaac Brown and Duke Watson might be the best 1-2 running back punch. Not individual running backs, but best 1-2 punch in the league this year. Another reason I think Louisville is a good bet. I told Horvat last night, you don't want to bet Clemson because the number's too low for a conference championship game and a bet that won't get paid off until January. Louisville's 12-1 to win the conference right now. Not a bad bet. Good run game. It's all going to come down to, is Miller Moss the guy, and how much is Jeff Brohm comfortable using the guy? And then, of course, Georgia Tech with Haynes King and Jamal Haynes at quarterback and running back, respectively, plus Brent Key, who spent this offseason building up the offensive line. I love Georgia Tech. I genuinely think Georgia Tech is in the hunt for a playoff spot this year. I think Georgia Tech could be this year what SMU was last year. I think Georgia Tech could be this year's SMU. Somebody asked Horvat the other day, who is this year's Indiana? And Horvat's answer was, I think Indiana is this year's Indiana. And I, at the time, laughed and agreed. I'm going to change it up a little bit. I think this year's Indiana might be the Georgia Tech rambling wreck. I think the Yellow Jackets might be this year's Indiana. I think they might be the team that at the end of the year, they find their way in. Nobody believes in them. Maybe it's justified. Maybe it's not. But I think Brent Key, who after ACC Media Days number one that we had him on this show, both Lonzo and I walked away from that interview going, as a football dude. That's an offensive lineman. That's a football dude who's never, he's got no other thoughts on the brain but football. They're in. Best games of the season in the ACC, according to Bill Connolly of ESPN, obviously opens with LSU at Clemson on August 30th. I don't think we need to talk about why that game matters anymore. We will, because we're like 3 weeks and 4 days from that game. But you know what that one is. Miami at Florida State, October 4th. Hey, if Florida State bounces back, if they have a bounce back year, maybe this is a game that keeps Miami out of the playoffs. That is also Miami's ACC opener. Interesting. Louisville at Miami on October 17th. That's a Friday night game. The Cardinals hope to win the championship. Might be dictated in that game. Miami SMU on November 1st. The two teams vying to be the number two team in the conference. Winner of that game might be it. They got Clemson at Louisville on November 14th. Say it is the tightest projected conference game of the year, and you got to go to Louisville to get it done. Last time you were up there, last time you faced off with Louisville, 33-21. So there you go. There's some ACC thoughts from ESPN. What do we like? What do we not? Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. If you want in on the show before we call it a show, now is your opportunity. 844-326-3663 is the number. 844-FANFONE. If you want to get at us in that direction, you can text me at the same number, 844-326-3663. That's the Hub City Spartanburger text line. That's also the call-in number. If you would like to tweet me at the Rob Brown Show, that is also my Instagram handle. That is also the Facebook handle. And, of course, the Fan Upstate across all of the social media on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitter is where you can follow the Fan Upstate to watch the live stream of the show every single day that we do it. Now, that being said, got a couple more things that I would like to get into before we get out of here for the day. We mentioned earlier in the show that Shedeur Sanders is going to be getting the nod for the Cleveland Browns coming up on Friday against the Carolina Panthers. And that is very interesting. I think it's interesting from the standpoint of the Cleveland Browns and Shedeur Sanders. Just a couple of days, Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, was doing a Jerry Jones-style post-practice press conference with the media. And he was asked about his thoughts on his most recent quarterback acquisition, Shedeur Sanders, and he was very, almost hilariously quick to respond to the media by saying, no, that's not my pick. That's Andrew Berry's pick, the GM of the Browns. The owner very rapidly said, nope, that's on the GM. That wasn't my pick. If it succeeds, he gets the credit. If it fails miserably, he gets the blame. Cool, so everything's great in Cleveland. But it's predominantly interesting because it provides an opportunity for this Carolina Panther defense on Friday. Everybody's talking about Carolina's upgraded offense, and that's fair. You should. Teteroa McMillan, Adam Thielen back to the slot. Is XL better at the two? You know the run game behind Chuba Hubbard is strong. You know the offensive line is good. Pro Football Focus has them ranked as the 11th best offensive line in the National Football League. My neutral observer position, I think they're the 8th. And I would not be shocked to see them end the year inside the top 6, maybe 5 offensive lines, statistically speaking. And, of course, there's Bryce Young and the development he showed towards the end of last year. Everybody is talking about the Carolina offense, and that's fine. It's fair. That is what is the most compelling story in Charlotte. But it is going to be, in my opinion, the defense that determines whether this team competes or does not compete with the rest of the NFC South. Yesterday, I had a take on the show. And the take that I had on the show was that I do not any longer believe that the Carolina Panthers should compete for the NFC South. I now believe that they should win the NFC South. I think they are good enough. I think they are talented enough. But we've talked about what they have. All those things we just said. There are 3 other teams in the division. I want to play for you very quickly the audio from a video that I posted on our social media channels at the Fan Upstate yesterday. The video I posted, because it's 2025, and if you're not social media-ing, you're not doing the job. So I posted this video. It was a snapshot of the show yesterday. But I went a little bit further and actually talked about why it is that I genuinely, truly, honestly believe that the Panthers match up pretty well with the rest of this division. Knowing it is a division that has been, I'll be kind and say average the last couple of years, I think you match up well with everybody. This is a social media clip. I had effectively 2 minutes to make my argument. Here's the audio. I want your gut reaction to it. This is why I believe the Panthers can win.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
The NFC South. All right. What I get right, what I get wrong. There was the breakdown. There was the take about the other teams in the division and why I am genuinely in. This is not a grab attention take. This is not a, y'all, I've been here 5 years. Not once have I tried to rock the boat with a grab attention take. Especially about this football team, all right? If I was going to rock the boat for a take, it'd be about one of the college football teams we cover. The take for me is, New Orleans isn't very good. They're not a threat. The take for me is, Tampa Bay is going with their third offensive coordinator in as many years, and OBT Dubs, he was last year's passing game coordinator. You're not pulling over a guy from like another spot where he had success. You're going with an unknown quantity. Granted, they've gotten it right twice in a row with Canales and Cohen. Maybe they do again, but I think it's step back time. Atlanta, the best team in the division that's outside of Carolina. Bijan Robinson, very good run game. Problem is, Carolina's defensive line with Derrick Brown back is anchored. Atlanta, much better pass rush. Problem is, Carolina's strength on offense may actually be the offensive line, not the wide receiver group. Of those takes, great one. Of my critiques of the other three teams in the NFC South, that I just said, I fully believe Carolina matches up very well with all of them. Issue with any of them? Am I being over aggressive? Am I rushing the timeline with this team? Or does it make sense?
I would like the Panthers to win. I think they have a shot. I think every team in the South has had a shot for every year for the last decade. It's still Tampa's. The South is Tampa's until they get beat.
Is this a be the man, beat the man situation?
I think it is. It went from when Tom Brady was there, they were winning. Now Baker's there and they're winning. They just are. And until they get knocked down, if Tampa is on the other side and starts losing some games, then maybe Carolina can step up. My mind might be changed about whether they can truly dominate the South. Just Friday, actually see them on the field for a little bit. I mean, if they come out and Bryce Young throws some touchdowns or at least leads some good drives without being overwhelmed, then I'm going to be happy. But if they come out and they're throwing pick sixes and he can't stay upright, then there's a problem.
Yeah, and I that's obviously very fair. I think the take for me in that point is going to be, as I've said,
and
about—
also, how much are they going to get scored on?
Very fair, because if Shador and the Browns come out and Shador runs you up and down the field, again, context matters. I think there will be a big difference in the Browns put up 24 and we go, holy crap, Shador Sanders is insane. Versus, Shador Sanders is fine. There was no reason for you to give up that many points
Panthers
in the first half.
Panthers playing defensive starters too or just offensive starters?
Entire team starters.
Okay, all right. So
that's the impression I got from Canales.
Which is another reason why Shador's playing is so he can actually go up against starters and see what he can do.
I think that's part of it. I think it's probably also, let's not throw 40-year-old Joe Flacco in front of Derrick Brown, right? Like, let's not let him get dusted like Thanos is out there. We'll see. We'll find out.
That could definitely be a reason also. All right, the first thing is X-ing is National Root Beer Float Day.
I'm all in. I'm all in. I had to tell you, was it a big root beer float kid? Just because I don't know why, like the texture of the ice cream going in the root beer, and it kind of got soupy, like it wasn't my thing. But it is it and banana splits. Two things that as I got older, I circled back around at one point, and I was like, damn, I'm really mad at kid me because I missed out on this greatness. Now, if you want a root beer float, I am going to tell you, take the time, go to the store, find yourself a Beta root beer. It is out of Southeast Louisiana. It is made with cane sugar that they grow on site. They go out, they cut down their own cane sugar, they put it in right into the root beer. It is the hands down best, no questions asked root beer. But if a Beta is unavailable, Barks is so superior to Mug. And I will roll up the sleeves and go to war on that.
Yeah, Mug has a certain taste to it. I can't quite describe what it is.
I think Mug is more like traditional sassafras root beer.
Maybe that's what it is.
Whereas Barks like leans into the bite of their root beer.
I do like Barks. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Matthew Stafford.
Matt Stafford is Xing. Now, I do not know exactly why, but I have a theory. He was on yesterday, the Pardon My Take podcast, or the day before. Okay, it's not why. I'll give you the story anyway. The host of that pod, Big Cat, was asking him about Georgia fans. He's a Bulldog, obviously. He was asking about Georgia fans barking at each other, telling stories about when they were going to games last year, and Georgia fans were barking at him. And Stafford said, I got to keep it a buck with you. I find grown men barking at other grown men weird. I don't do it. And I got to tell you, I already had a ton of respect for Matt Stafford, but it skyrocketed when he said that.
All right. So according to reports, sources, whatever, he has a disc problem and has had to have an epidural to relieve the pain.
Woof.
Yes. According to sources, yes.
That's not ideal for the Rams.
It is not. The next thing that's Xing is War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. Like the OG Orson Welles or the new Tom Cruise?
No, it's an Ice Cube movie, which has zero. I don't care about it, but it's got zero on Rotten Tomatoes and supposedly the worst movie ever made. Does this make you want to go watch it?
Yep, sure
it does me.
Yep, sure does.
Because I know in my mind what the worst movie ever that I ever seen was, and I want to see if this compares to it.
It makes me not just want to watch it. It makes me want to, as soon as the show is over, text the wife and be like, we got plans tonight. It's the last night before you become a football
widow.
It's on
Prime, by the way.
Last night until you become a football widow until February, I have our date night picked out. I'm cooking on the Blackstone, and we are watching a movie with a 0.0 rating featuring Ice Cube.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Sophie Cunningham.
I feel like that little giggle breath laugh of yours.
Because I want to see what you're going to do. Because, I mean, an incident happened, a repeat incident. You don't know about
it. Oh, no. Okay, the sex toy incident.
Oh, she got hit.
Oh, she got, she.
Yeah, after she put a video plea out, please don't throw these things at us. You could hurt us. She actually got hit yesterday.
We can say the name of what it is, right?
It's a sex toy. You already said it.
Yeah, but like a specific one.
I would prefer if you just.
There's options out there.
I don't know about those. Right. So I think you should go with just sex toy.
You all with just 7 seconds of thought. No, it's a phallic-shaped rubber
sex toy.
Sex toy. There has been this thing, and I do want to be very clear, because I've said like 7 times over the course of this show.
You gotta hurry, dude.
I will very quickly. I've said a bunch of times over the course of the show, Rob Brown's in favor of sophomore humor. I get it. That's just not funny and insulting. All right, it's just not funny. There's plenty of times where that particular equipment is hilarious. I used to have one that I would stick onto my buddy's guitar when he was playing solos at a bar, and it's the funniest thing in the world. That's not.
All right,
time and place.
That's three, and a fourth one was found in the stands.
And somebody got arrested the other day for doing it. So now if you do it, especially if you hit.
It was assault.
If you hit my queen, Sophie the Enforcer Cunningham, go to jail forever. That's it for us. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, let's be real. It's your own fault. Come back tomorrow. We'll try to be better on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.